This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we'll be reading from verse number 75 of Surah As-Saffat, page number 441 of the Sahih International Translation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد نادانا نوح فلنعم المجيبون ونجيناه وأهله من الكرب العظيم وجعلنا ذريته هم الباقين وتركنا عليه في الآخرين سلام على نوح في العالمين إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين إنه من عبادنا المؤمنين ثم أغرقنا الآخرين وإن من شيعته لإبراهيم إذ جاء ربه بقلب سليم إذ قال لأبيه وقومه ماذا تعبدون أئفكا آلهة دون الله تريدون فما ظنكم برب العالمين فنظر نظرة في النجوم فقال إني سقيم فتولوا عنه مدبرين فراغ إلى آلهتهم فقال ألا تأكلون ما لكم لا تنطقون فراغ عليهم ضربا باليمين فأقبلوا إليه يزفون قال أتعبدون ما تنحتون والله خلقكم وما تعملون قالوا ابنوا له بنيانا فألقوه في الجحيم فأرادوا به كيدا فجعلناهم الأسفلين وقال إني ذاهب إلى ربي سيهدين رب هب لي من الصالحين فبشرناه بغلام حليم فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين فلما أسلما وتله للجبين وناديناه أن يا إبراهيم قد صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين إن هذا لهو البلاء وفديناه بذبح عظيم وتركنا عليه في الآخرين سلام على إبراهيم إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين إنه من عبادنا المؤمنين وبشرناه بإسحاق نبيا من الصالحين وباركنا عليه وعلى إسحاق ومن ذريتهما محسن وظالم لنفسه مبين
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد My dearest mothers and sisters, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this beautiful opportunity to meet again, to look into the words that He has revealed. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this morning we will see something so blessed that even the messengers and those who were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they struggled, they sacrificed, they went through great difficulty, and they went through a lot of issues. They too called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a lot of hope. And they continued to call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They begged from Him until a day came when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to them as they had wished. With us, sometimes we become a little bit despondent. We call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we want the result within moments, within days, within weeks, within a year. These messengers sometimes called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for years on end without losing hope. And one day it came. Yet they were higher than us. They were better than us. And we expect it to come sooner than that. Remember, in Allah's hands is everything. So when we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having tried our best, then the level of iman is definitely increased, solidified, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy upon us all, and may He grant us that which is better for us and protect us from that which is worse for us, even if we want it desperately. That's a powerful dua. This is why when we make the dua of istikhara, whenever you want something important and you ask Allah's guidance, sometimes we are taught the wording of it from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein we would say, "Oh Allah, if this is not good for me, then keep it away from me and keep me away from it and make me happy with what you have chosen for me." Let's move to the verses we've read today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا نُوحٌ. And Nuh, or Noah, may peace be upon him, had certainly called upon us. And we are the best of responders. Now, a nida here is referring to the call in terms of dua, where Nuh, Noah, may peace be upon him, called out to Allah to help him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed on Nuh alayhi salam's shoulders a certain duty, and that would have definitely been with the help of Allah, and still he called out to Allah to help him further and to help him more and more, because part of fulfilling the duty was enduring the difficulty. Same applies to us. Allah's placed on our shoulders duties far easier than the duties of Nuh, Noah, may peace be upon him, and all the other messengers. But we need to realize that the duties that have been placed on our shoulders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be easy to implement. We will still need the help of Allah. And we will need dedication, perseverance, continuation, come what may. May Allah make it easy for us. So Allah says, He called out to us to save him and his family and so on. So we are the best of responders. And we saved him and his family from great affliction. The great affliction and the floods that came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Nuh alayhi salam and his family. There were some exceptions in the form of the son of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. Mention is also made of the wife of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. And these, Allah says, they were not part of your family, your extended family, in the sense that they had chosen the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They may have biologically been connected to you, but they were not from amongst those who deserved the savior from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they were at loggerheads with the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, and we made his descendants those remaining on earth. We've explained this in the past according to one of the most famous translations. This means that when the floods came, they were wholesale. And there were between 11 and 80 people who were saved in that particular ark. And none of them bore offspring besides Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. The rest of them, they did not have a progeny, although they had remained. And this was the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the meaning of this term, وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمْ الْبَاقِينَ. We kept the progeny of his. Those were the ones that actually remained. We made his descendants those remaining on the earth. And we left for him a favorable mention amongst the later generations. This means that whenever people speak about Nuh, they always say good things. Noah, may peace be upon him. May Allah make us from amongst those whom, when we leave, people can at least bear witness. Remember, the good people will always remember the good people. But sometimes the bad people might not remember the good people with good words, but bad words. And sometimes the good people, they won't even engage in the lives of those who are bad before them, unless in the form of a reminder. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. So it depends which category we fall in to, and which category those who are going to speak about us after us fall into as well. With Nuh alayhi salam, the good mention, part of it is that whenever we say the names of any of these prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we immediately add alayhi salam. May Allah's peace be upon him. May peace be upon him. We say Noah, may peace be upon him. It is an insult to the status of any of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to just say their names. You cannot just say Jesus without saying may peace be upon him. If you're a true Muslim, you need to acknowledge his status and pray for him in that way by saying may peace be upon him. The same applies to Musa, Moses and all the others, including Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his household and all his companions. So Allah says, we left for him a favorable mention amongst later generations. Peace be upon Noah among the worlds. May peace be upon him. Imagine, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's verse. It's his words declaring peace upon Nuh. Yet Nuh alayhi salam struggled when he was here to convince the people. They mocked and scoffed. They tried to harm him. And they did so many things. They laughed at him. When he was building the ark, they laughed at him. When he called them to Allah, they blocked their ears. For 950 years, he kept on calling. Kept on calling. And very few people, it is reported that one person, would accept every 100 years. Imagine. On average, between 1 and 10. Maximum. The greatest number that is mentioned in any of the narrations of the followers of Nuh alayhi salam after 950 years of calling was 80. And the smallest is 11. So it's somewhere between the two. My sisters, imagine the effort that was put in. This is why we need to understand. These were the chosen people of Allah, the messengers. They put in so much effort to please Allah. We don't even have to put in a fraction of that effort, but we are still quite lazy. We're lazy to work on ourselves, yet they had to work on others as well. They felt that they were not doing the job as it should have been, yet they were doing it properly. When it came to fulfilling or passing the message on to others, let alone their own steadfastness, they were upon the highest level of steadfastness, and they still felt that they had to do more. With us, we are perhaps on a very low level of steadfastness, and we think, you know what, we've arrived. It's okay, we're there. Alhamdulillah, we're doing very well. Wow, these words are said just to help us, to do a bit better. But they should never be said to make us feel like we really have arrived at a coast. You know, we've really now happy enough. Now that I've got my hijab on, and now that, you know, subhanallah, I'm a person who is reading my 5 salah, and that's over, it's okay. That's a droplet. It's very important, but it's just a droplet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So, let's pause for a moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, we thus reward the doers of good. كَذَلِكَ نَجَزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجَزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ Indeed, this is how we reward the doers of good. Now, who are the doers of good? Let's go to the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same word muhsineen there. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this statement of the Prophet Joseph, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, where Allah says, he told his brothers, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ Indeed, the one who has consciousness of Allah, meaning taqwa, and patience, meaning sabr, Allah will never ever let the reward go by. Allah will never waste their reward. So the reward of sabr and the reward of taqwa, it makes a person become known as a muhsin. And Allah says, the muhsin, this is how we reward them. What type of reward? We give them the best in the akhirah. And we give them contentment in the dunya. And we allow them to taste goodness both in this world and the next. So if I want to taste goodness, what should I do? Goodness does not mean taste whatever you like and wish. Because the minute you have taqwa, you will only wish what pleases Allah. And the minute you have sabr, you will understand that that itself should have a sweetness to it. Some people have endured so much in life that the sabr that they go through becomes sweet. It becomes such a love story between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They go through a lot, tremendous amount issues. Nothing goes according to their whims and fancies because they realize that everything will go according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's just surrender to it. That does not make them become despondent, nor does it make them not make any effort in the direction of achieving goodness. They try their best and they leave the rest in the hands of Allah. And then they are happy. This is what a muhsin is. This is what a person who has arrived at goodness is. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَّمْ تَكُن تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. The hadith says, to worship Allah as though you are watching Him, you can see Him. And if you cannot do that, then you should know at least that He is all watchful over you. That is part of ihsan. It's a level of the doers of good. It makes you do good very well. Because you and I know right now Allah is watching me. He's looking at me. He loves me. He cares for me. He's in control of everything. He will not allow anything to harm me except if He wills. And He doesn't allow any goodness to come in my direction except if He wills. And nobody can block goodness except by the will of Allah. This is what the messengers believed in. And then I tell you something. Try making a dua to Allah. After you have had sabr. And after you have had taqwa. And you become a muhsin by the will of Allah. Or even if you are on the path of ihsan. On the path of ihsan. The path of goodness. Then make a dua to Allah. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ الْمُجِيبُونَ. And indeed in the past, Noah has called out to us. We are the best of responders. We respond in the best way. You see, sometimes you have a friend of yours, a family member, a mother, a parent, a child, whoever it is. The call comes and they respond immediately. I want this, and you give it if you can. But with Allah, even though He can, sometimes He blocks it because He knows the future. And He knows that that's not good for you. No, not at all. You want wealth, we're not going to give it to you. Why? Because it's not good sometimes for your attitude. You become a big boss, B-O-S-S, and then people spray you all over their bodies. Allahu Akbar. May Allah safeguard us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all, grant us ease. So sometimes Allah keeps it away. And sometimes He gives you in due measure. And sometimes He'll really splash it as a test. And sometimes it humbles people. Some people have wealth, and that wealth humbles them. It brings them down to earth. They become people who are really close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spending from what Allah has given them in His path. مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا مَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever builds for the sake of Allah a masjid, Allah will definitely build for them a house in paradise. Sometimes people have a bad habit of waiting for their death before others do it on their behalf. The proper way of doing it is whilst you're alive, drill boreholes on your name. That's a sadaqah jariyah. Your name, not the person who died. You. Whilst you're alive, build a masjid. It's not so difficult. Or contribute towards it, because it is said that if you contribute towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not like Allah's going to give you one brick and say, okay, this is the brick that you gave. No, He'll give you the whole house. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. But we need ihsan. We need this goodness. And we need to realize that at that stage we call out to Allah, we are happy with whatever He has given to us. And we never lose hope. Some people make a dua for 10 years and after that they say, it's been 10 years, I still don't have what I wanted. Allah says, we know. My worship, I know something you don't know. You really don't know. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness. You know, sometimes we find it difficult and we dilly-dally upon the path. The path, we know the straight path, but we dilly-dally. And the reason is shaitan comes and beautify things. And he makes things look so fair-seeming to us, yet these things are dangerous. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding us that look, everyone is in need, including the prophets. They were all in need. They called out to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the highest of creation, the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet he made so many du'as. And if we were to just look at the du'as of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were there in order to teach us what type of du'a to make as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. So Allah says, then we drowned the others. So indeed, he was one of the believing servants. Allah says, in fact, before that, verse number 80, Allah says, indeed, we thus reward the doers of good. Indeed, he was of our believing servants. Imagine Allah says, he was of our believing servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them, and they passed their tests. May Allah make it easy for us to pass ours. So Allah says, and indeed, he was of our believing servants. Then we drowned the others. And we all know that the others were drowned. The evil, the disbelievers, they were drowned. And indeed, amongst his kind was Abraham. Ibrahim, may peace be upon him. The Mufassirin have said that he was obviously from the family of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, because Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was the one who had children. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, somewhere down the line from Nuh, he was born. And then also Shi'ati, he would also mean the kind, from the same kind, the same type of person. A person who was righteous, a person who engaged in lots of sabr, a person who had lots of steadfastness, taqwa, a person who was a muhsin, a good doer of good. So Allah says he was also similar in sacrifice and similar in that he was chosen to deliver the message. So he was from the lineage and he was also similar in nature and in kind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us good as well. So Allah says, remember when he came to his Lord with a sound heart. Ibrahim alayhi salam came to his Lord with a sound heart. He recognized Allah, he knew Allah, and his heart was definitely not contaminated. It was clean, the sound heart. Al-qalbu salim, that heart which is free of all sickness. Today the heart is contaminated with anything and everything. You know, we see a color we like and next thing we after it. We see something we like and next thing, wow, this is beautiful. Why don't we understand the beauty of Jannah and work towards it even more? Paradise is not too far. It's close range. It's just a few years away for us. Subhanallah. But we need to work towards it. And the beauty of it is we call out to Allah and we get it. We ask Allah's forgiveness and we get it. We ask His mercy, we get it. We just try our best and we get it. But we need to try. So Allah says, remember when He came to His Lord with a sound heart. And when he said to his father and his people, what do you worship? What is it that you are worshipping? Young man asking a question to his father and his people, his nation. What is it that you are worshipping? Ask yourselves. What are you worshipping? Now if we pause for a moment and go back to the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, my mothers and sisters, a very important lesson we learn is that when the callers, when the pious and those who call towards Allah, call out to Allah, there is a greater chance of them and their dua being accepted. You call out towards Allah. So when you call to Allah, your call is of more value. Because you have become upright yourself. Remember, you learn, you put into practice, and then you invite others. That completes the circle. So if you are a person who's interested in calling towards Allah, you need to have learnt and you need to have put into practice and then you need to have called others towards Allah, then try calling to Allah. Now, what makes the people who call to Allah better? Allah says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who can there be better in speech than the one who calls towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the Quran declares that these are the best people in speech. Who are they? They are the ones who keep reminding others to do good. Keep reminding. Don't lose hope. Keep on talking about hijab. keep on talking about goodness, the goodness of the heart, the purity of worship, abstaining from shirk, abstaining from innovation, polytheism and so on. And explaining all the different forms of innovation and the different forms of polytheism and what have you. And continuing to explain the importance of hijab, even if some don't see it. Remember, my mothers and sisters, a very important point. Hijab is actually a way of life. It is the identification of a Muslimah. It is. And it is a part of a life of a Muslimah, which is not just a mere piece of cloth on the head. We all agree. It is the entire lifestyle of a Muslimah. That is hijab. But it starts with a piece of cloth, subhanallah, and the heart that understands what's it there for. What is it there for? And this is why we say, wallahi, for those who have the knowledge of what's going on in the Western world, they will realize that very soon, a lot of the Islamic teachings shall be totally banned, prohibited, completely banned to even speak about. Even to express it will be banned in the most free of countries on the globe. Banned, totally gone. And this is why it's very, very important for us to create a beautiful awareness in order to prepare for the future so that we do not see such a day very soon. And we have the support of even those who perhaps do not share the same beliefs as us when it comes to allowing us at least to follow what we have to without trampling on the feet of others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and make it easy. But this is only for those who understand and who can look very deep into matters and who can think about the future and the generations. Otherwise, there are some who cannot see beyond their noses. Allahu Akbar. And this is why recently we had, and I'm sure you're aware of it, the World Hijab Day. I spoke about it on that particular day and even before. And the idea is not just to, you know, to play a joke or a fool or a prank or something. No. And nor is it just to create a fashion statement, no. But we all do acknowledge that the hijab is far deeper. It's an act of worship. It's far deeper than the mere piece of cloth. We all acknowledge that. It's an act of worship and service to Allah. It's part and parcel of the duty and identity of a Muslim. And it's at the same time, we've spoken about how important it is for males as well, although the term hijab might not be used for them, but they also have their own modesty and so on that is definitely enshrined in the Quran and Sunnah. So it's not just a mere piece of cloth, but there are some who think that the reason why this was done was just to promote a piece of cloth. No, it's far deeper than that, far deeper than that. But this is the beginning. It's just a step, one step. You know, you take a step at a time. You learn to crawl, then walk, then perhaps run. You don't see people running before they've walked. Allahu Akbar. It's like going to university without having gone to grade 1 and 2. So people say, oh, you're not allowed to go to grade 1 and 2. Why are you going to primary school? Well, how are you going to get to high school then? And how are you going to then get to the university? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. And may Allah open our door. So the sound heart that is being mentioned here is connected to the obedience of Allah. And the understanding of the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system operates, the way it works. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, part of that sound heart made him question his father and his people. What do you worship? Is it falsehood as gods other than Allah that you desire? Are you desiring to worship that which is besides Allah, besides your maker, besides your creator? Then what is your thought about the Lord of the worlds? What do you think about the one who made you? If you are prepared to worship people and sticks and stones and graves and trees and so on, what is your opinion about the one who made you? The one who made them? He made you and he made all those whom you are worshipping. Ultimately, he is the creator of absolutely everything. So what do you think about him? What's your relationship with him? Now he is questioning them in order for them to answer so that they can turn towards the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they didn't. They used to sell the idols. They used to earn money through religion. And because of that, they never ever turned towards the questions that were asked. Up to this day, there are people who make a fortune through false religions sometimes. And even some of the people who claim to be Muslim, sometimes they make a lot of money just through selling different types of things and telling you, you know, this is this and that is that, and you need to have this type of a cloth that you need to lay on that type of a grave in order for you to achieve goodness and what have you. And if you were to call them towards what is right, They won't want to bat an eyelid because they'll stop making money. So it becomes everything to do with money. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. This is the same reason why the people of Ibrahim did not turn to what he was calling them towards. They remained, including his own father, because they were interested in the monetary benefit. And they did not want to lose their power, their standing in the religion. They did not want to lose their standing in their own faith. They were big people. By acknowledging what this young man is saying, they would have to listen to him. They didn't want to listen to him. Why? It was a matter of him being young, and who is this young man coming forth? We did not choose him, but Allah chose him. So sometimes the good message comes to you via a person whom perhaps you may not really like, but he's speaking the truth. You might have had a little family gripe with him, or community gripe with him, or sometimes you might not like the way he looks or he dresses, but the message comes sometimes from people that Allah chooses, not me, not you. Allah chooses whom He wants to deliver the message to you and I. And the winner is he or she who takes heed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness. Here it is. Allah says, verse number 86, is it falsehood as gods other than Allah that you desire? Then what is your thought about the Lord of the worlds? And then he cast a look at the stars. Who cast a look at the stars? Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. And then he said, indeed I am ill, I am ill. Some translations say I am about to be ill, and some say I am ill. So he excused himself from the great festival that they were all going to, because he had planned to break up these idols in order to prove to them that your idols have no might, no power. But he did not lie, because he was ill of what they were doing. You know, like how sometimes you say, I'm sick of what they're doing. It doesn't mean I'm vomiting of what they're doing. It means I'm sick in the sense that I'm fed up. That's the same word we use to this day. So it's not actually a lie, because spiritual malady and sometimes emotional malady, and sometimes it's even, you know, a different type of a sickness, not necessarily the physical sickness that we all know where you've got a stomach ache or you've got this ache and that ache. It's actually a big headache. You know, sometimes we say, oh, this person, big headache. It doesn't mean you get a headache, but it just means they're a headache. They ache the head in a way that the head doesn't ache. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. May He grant us an understanding. So this was the man. He hatched a plan in order to prove a point to them. So they turned away from him, departing. Then he turned to their gods and he asked them a question. Do you not eat? Imagine a man walking into the whole storeroom full of idols, all of them with eyes looking at you. He says, don't you eat? And they're still looking. Don't you eat? They're still looking. He says, what is wrong with you? You don't even speak. They're still looking. This was just a point in order to draw attention to the fact that they do not speak, they do not eat, they cannot benefit themselves. How then are they going to be of benefit to anything or anyone else? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and He turned upon them a blow with His right hand. With His right hand, whether He used an object or not, according to one narration, he used an object, an axe-like object, and he destroyed them, these idols. Then they, which means the people, came towards him. When they came afterwards and they saw what had happened, they went towards him, hastening. He said, do you worship that which you yourselves carve? While Allah created you and that which you do, Allah created everything, you and these idols and everything. Allah is the creator, He knows. So are you worshipping that which you carve with your own hands? Allah gave you the hands and Allah gave you those stones as well. And now you're carving the stones with your own hands and then you want to worship them against Allah. Don't you have sense? Guess what? They had no sense. No matter how hard you explain to them, they didn't understand. But let's hope we are not from amongst those that no matter how hard people who are learned try to explain to us with proof of revelation and we still don't take heed. No, no, no. We should not be from amongst those. The minute we are explained to, we should turn. And the minute revelation is made clear to us, we should understand that's Allah. I have no competition with Allah. I can never ever compete. Not at all. So when Allah has prohibited something, remember, don't play the game and the fool with Allah. And if you have fallen due to human weakness, ask Allah's forgiveness. He is the one. He knows. He can see. He watches. We're returning to him. We are answerable to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the question he asked them, that you know what? Allah created you and he made everything, and now you want to worship these things that you've carved with your own hands while Allah created you and that which you do? They said, construct for him a structure, make a furnace, and throw him into the burning flame. So they made a furnace and they threw him into the burning flame. He did not renege, he did not turn, he did not give up his words, he did not deny what he said. He was so powerful. Why? Because of that qalbun salim, that sound heart, sound heart. This is why, subhanallah, there are some workshops and there are some organizations that actually deal with the spiritual part of the heart, trying to go back to the roots of how to achieve a sound heart, primarily by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and surrendering exactly and completely to the message of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you achieve a sound heart, that belief, that yaqeen, that conviction. So when they threw him in, he was still convinced. And he knew that Allah's got a plan. And if Allah wants me to burn, I'll burn. And if he doesn't want, I won't. And they intended for him a plan. They wanted to harm him. But we made them the most debased. We made them the lowest. Al-asfal. The lowest of the low. They wanted to make him low. We made them low. So when people plan to drop you, Allah will drop them. Don't worry. But you carry on. Just be steadfast. Don't even panic. Sometimes you've just got to ignore in a beautiful way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they intended for him harm, and we made them the most low, the lowest. They lost. And then he said, indeed, I will go to where I am ordered by my Lord. He will guide me. Now, if you look at the verses in between, the detail is mentioned in other places in the Quran, where Allah says, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. We instructed the fire to be cold and to be a means of peace for Ibrahim. And so the fire was cold, and it was a means of peace in the sense that, according to some narrations, he was tied up with ropes and chains, and the fire burnt all the ropes and chains but did not harm him. So he walked out of it so beautifully without even being touched at all. And then they told him, okay, now that we've seen this, we are actually kicking you out of our town. He says, no problem, I will go wherever Allah wants me to go. I will go wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to go. That's something amazing. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has a plan for everyone who is in need, who calls out to him. He has a plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Ibrahim alayhi salam, even though he had come out of that fire and everything was okay, and they saw it happening in front of them, they still did not accept that he was right. Why? Because their hearts were sealed. They had the opposite of a qalbun salim. It was a qalbun saqim. Saqim and salim. If you change the lam to a qaf, it becomes a sick heart. And if you change the qaf to a lam, it becomes a sound heart. So remember this. They had hearts that were sick, and he had a heart that was sound. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the sick hearts. So immediately, they saw all this, they still didn't believe, they chased him out, he walked away. And when he walked away, he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan for me. And this is why, listen to what he says, verse number 100. He says, my Lord, grant me a child from amongst the righteous. I need a child from amongst the righteous. At that stage, it was just him, his wife, and Lut, who was his nephew. The three of them went away. Lut, his nephew. Imagine his community, nobody. Nobody accepted the message, nothing. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was one of the most powerful messengers. We could comfortably say the most powerful after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, highest in rank after him, the father of all the anbiya to come after him, all the prophets to come, was Abraham. Ibrahim, may peace be upon him. And Allah said, and we know that amongst his people, nobody accepted the message. So a winner is not those or the one whom more people have accepted the message of, but it is just the one who conveys the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, steadfast on his own, and does what Allah has asked him to do, even if the world laughs at him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and steadfastness. So Allah says he made a dua for a child. And this was at old age. Now I want to show you the same point I raised at the beginning. He called towards Allah with a lot of patience and taqwa. We told you two things, sabr and taqwa. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ. Indeed, the one who has taqwa and sabr, at some point they will see the reward of their ihsan, of their doing of good. So Allah says, he called towards us for so long, then he called to us. You know the difference between calling towards us and calling to us? One is you calling towards Allah, reminding people of Allah. Then you talk to Allah. So all this time you were working for Allah, and you continue working for Allah, calling towards him, meaning he is your boss. And now what happens? You call to him, saying, hey, I just need this. Imagine someone is a dedicated worker of yours. Say, for example, you have, I'm going to give you just a simple example that involves almost all of us. You've got someone working for you as a helping hand. And they're so dedicated, they work day and night, they've sacrificed, they've been through, you know, people might have said things about you, they've always defended, they've always come to the assistance, so on and so forth. And one day they ask you, you know what, I really need $10 here and now. What are you going to do? When you know their credentials, and you know you've got $1,000 in your pocket, for example, or even $100. I just want $10 here and now. And you'll think to yourself, whoa, this person's worked for me for 20 years. They're just asking me for one thing. Come here, you can take 10. Take 20 actually. Subhanallah. He asked for a child. He got more than one. He got Ishaq and Ismail. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he called towards us for so long. Then he called to us. He asked us something. He says, oh Allah, grant me a child from amongst the righteous. He did not just say, grant me a child. This is the mistake sometimes we make. Ya Allah, I want children. I want children. What type of children? Make a dua. Ya Allah, grant me children who will be righteous, who will be obedient to you, and who will be the coolness of our eyes. So Allah says, so we gave him good tidings of a forbearing boy. Forbearing boy. Halim. One with a lot of patience, a lot of clemency, a lot of good qualities. We gave him glad tidings. Imagine, in one verse Allah says he asked us, in the next verse Allah says we gave him. Let's call out to Allah. Let's work towards Allah. I tell you something. The power of it. We know from the hadith, and even we know from the Quran, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If you fulfill what Allah has instructed you, you'll find Allah granting you victory. He will help you. He will give you what you want. But it's not going to be easy. He didn't say one day, 2 days. Show a dedication of a lifetime. 10 years, 20 years, then let's see. Dedication. With us we falter. You know, we steadfast for 1 year and suddenly we drop. Allahu Akbar. May Allah not do that to us. This was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And the lesson we learned, like I was saying, the hadith. Hadith says, you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walking. He comes to you faster than that. The term used is rushing. You come to him a foot, or you come to him a handspan, he comes to you a whole foot. That means Allah's quicker to come to you than we are to him. But do we come to Allah even that much? That's the question. So Allah says, we gave him glad tidings of a forbearing boy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. What happened with that boy? Inshallah, next week, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity, we will go through it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of every single one of us, to grant us bliss, goodness in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. Beautiful lessons we learned today. And we learned how these messengers also called not only out to Allah, but they called out towards Allah as well. And we need to understand the difference between the two, and the fact that it's our duty to do both. And the fact that one is connected to the other as well, to a great extent. We ask Allah to grant us steadfastness, to make us from those who have sabr and taqwa, and to grant us the level of what he has termed al-muhsineen, those who are the doers of good. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create ease for every single one. especially those from amongst our brothers and sisters who are struggling and suffering across the globe. So many nations, so many countries. Syria would just be to mention one of them, but there are so many more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not test us with the same, and may He help us to reach out to them in a way that He knows we know, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdih. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayki.